For our first segment, we turn to a case of a New York activist who's believed to be among the first to face criminal charges for communicating electronically with protesters about police actions. Elliot Madison was arrested last month during the G20 protests in Pittsburgh when police raided his hotel room. Police say Madison and a co-defendant used computers and a radio scanner to track police movements and then passed on that information to protesters using cell phones and the social networking site Twitter. Madison's being charged with hindering apprehension or prosecution, criminal use of a communication facility, and possession of instruments of crime. Exactly 1 week later, Madison's New York home was raided by FBI agents who conducted a 16-hour search. The agents seized items including computers, clothing, books, and the records of Madison's clients in his job as a social worker. Madison has since won a temporary order barring agents from examining his seized property. For more, Elliot Madison joins us here in the Firehouse studio. We're also joined by his attorney, Martin Stoller. We welcome you both to Democracy Now!
Essentially what Elliot is charged with is using the computer or the cell phone to put up an announcement that said that the police had issued an order to disperse. Having done that and having informed people that the police had issued the order, then it is claimed that that announcement hindered prosecution somehow by, I guess, having people avoid being arrested. It would seem to me that that is something that provides some benefit to the police department in terms of saving them the expenditure of resources in processing people. But they decided to criminalize that communication, or at least in their complaint, that's what they said, that the communication that said, hey, there's been a dispersal order, everybody be aware of it, somehow turns into a crime of hindering prosecution. The communication facility then, the cell phone or the computer that was used to post that message, becomes an instrument of the crime, and the use of that mass communication facility becomes, they claim under Pennsylvania law, a third crime. This is just unbelievable. It is the thinnest, silliest case that I've ever seen. It tends to criminalize support services for people who are involved in lawful protest activity. And it's just shocking that somebody could be arrested for essentially walking next to somebody and saying, hey, don't go down that street because the police have issued an order to disperse, stay away from there. All of a sudden, essentially, that becomes the crime that Elliot and his co-defendant are charged with.
And they may be the first to be charged criminally with sending information electronically to protesters about the police. What's the significance of this in terms of First Amendment rights?
Can I just clarify?
Sure.
We're not the first. We're the first in this country.
American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Monday, October the 12th, 2009. And that's right, you're listening to Newsreel, the WOG Global sit-rep on core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal. And you can get there by going to Sean H1N1 Kennedy. No, it's S-E-A-N underscore Kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free broadcast. God damn, that can be heard on Ryan Radio Talk, Red Mercury SE, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio, iTunes, podcast.com, Podcast Alley, Second Life Note Archers, Grid Coordinates. Every Thursday, we broadcast from Second Life Note Archers, 15574666. And, of course, we are simulcast on Radio 99, transmitting on a frequency of 6673.3 kilohertz. And, of course, my beautiful and talented co-host, Samarian is with us here. And you're not sick, of course, because you're a vegan.
No.
And vegans never ever get sick.
I keep the meat out of my mouth, so it all works out pretty good.
Oh, well.
But you don't sound too good. What's going on
That's
there?
That's because I like the meat in my mouth, boy, let me tell you. Yeah. You know, I'm all about the carrion and rotting carcass eating over here. Yes, it's true. Well, I've discovered that since we are, in fact, in British Columbia, if you have the flu in BC, this is what they're saying on the news now, it's the H1N1 strain. Because
No.
That, like they're running with this story now because apparently all the strains that exist here, if you have the flu, it's H1N1. Dun dun dun. Which is okay. Which
well,
is
makes,
to say
makes for good news, right? Yeah.
Right. So unfortunately, I've had it for a while now. You know what I mean? Like I've had this brutal cough for like a little while now. So it's like I don't really think it's a big deal. I'm you know, kind of walking off the swine flu here. So I don't really see what the big problem is. I just load up on the garlic, and I'm still not letting anybody shoot me up full of drugs. But I do enjoy the, you know, the total 28 days later thing they got on the go now. It's like, all of BC is swine flu. Like, I'm hoping they set up roadblocks and barricades and stuff. And wire, you know.
Martial law.
You gotta contain the flu! You know, oh yeah, it'd be awesome.
Step back, sir, step back.
That's right. You know, that's the, it'd be sweet. And then that, of course, gives them a good reason to come in here and you know, raid everything for grow ops. Because they're here for the CDC for the flu, you know. So they don't find...
We heard there's swine flu in this house. Yeah. Yes, we must search it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, you know, who knows where it's going to go. But I notice here, inserted into my show format, I see some Sumerian news, which...
Surreptitiously,
with highlighters, which isn't very surreptitious. Like a highlighter... That's an online name right there. Your surreptitious highlighter. Pirate Party Radio, what is that all about, Sam?
Well, it is the official radio show of the Pirate Party of Canada, and it is coming soon to a radio station near you, particularly Rant Radio Talk.
You're going to be so, and it says here, I'm reading in the show format, that you sat down with the leader of the Pirate Party, Jake Danes, famous guy now.
Pirate Party of Canada.
Pirate Party of Canada. Yeah, but still, famous guy now. You know, he's running around for about 3 hours and discussing the Pirate Party and the radio show.
I came up with the concept of doing a radio show for the Pirate Party.
Well,
because
that's great.
This stuff that we've been talking about for 10 years, off and on, is exactly what the Pirate Party is about. All the copyright and patents and privacy and surveillance, net neutrality, open government, free speech, and all that kind of stuff. So I thought, that's a perfect thing to do. I thought it'd be awesome.
It's your calling. And you're doing the show?
Yes. Yes, I will be doing the show.
Well, that'll be cool. That will be cool.
Yeah, so I'll have the leader of the Pirate Party for Canada on the first show, doing an interview with him. And other people of note that are schooled in these kind of issues.
And this is actually, like, you know, I'm glad you're bringing this up because you're going to, of course, this is a great venue for you to be, like, because it's not just the Pirate Party, but it's also, like, free speech and stuff like that. So... we've been talking about doing interviews on this show for a while, but it's kind of complicated with the Second Life and with everything like that. So if anyone out there has got any ideas for people who would be, have
applicable
that would be useful,
for
applicable for Pirate Party, that might be the way to go. So, you know, if you're tuning in here and you're thinking, hey, you know what? I've got a buddy, I'm sure these guys need some filler. Let's see if he, wants to go. Maybe you're a network engineer who's got a lot of viewpoints on, how much sharing is really going on. It could be anything, if you're got something that, or maybe you're involved in the legal system somehow, and what's your take on this? And, we need to get the information out there. We need to get people talking about these ideas and concepts because, well, it's important, man, and this may be one of the last few chances we get. So, have you got a name for the show?
Pirate Party Radio.
Oh, you're keeping that. Nice. Nice. So it's,
if you go to piratepartyradio.com, right now it's just pointed to Rant Media,
right.
Webpage. But as soon as the webpage for Pirate Party Radio is set up, Then it'll be pointing to that. Might even be done probably next week. And the radio show will be starting soon. I don't have an exact date on it because I just met with the guy yesterday.
No, you've got to have the right launch and everything. Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a big deal.
Oh, yeah, you got to make it look good and sound good, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And get your format down and all that stuff. So, but that's excellent, though, and should be exciting stuff. So, hooray. And this is the beginning of your empire. Right, I mean, this is where it begins. Soon, you know, we'll all be goose stepping, and there'll be, you know, Sam standing there with his hair all slicked back, and da 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 da. You're pretty. There's no delicate way to put this, Sam. You are fairly blonde. You know, you do have. You know, kind of the high cheekbones on the Well, I'm just saying. You know, the likelihood, you know, maybe we should dig a little bit deeper into this O'Brien background of yours. You sure that's not Klaus? Maybe it's Sumerian Klaus? Anyway, I don't know. We'll just have to, you know, look at when your family actually came to the country. Because, after all, we all know that, Sumerian could actually be building, you know, his own little vision of the future, just like he's been doing all this time. Yes, everyone thinks it's me.
No, no.
In fact, no, it's really...
I am the puppet master.
Well, that's it, you know, and I prefer...
No. It's just a radio show. It's just a radio show.
Yeah, and what could possibly go wrong...
They already have a leader.
With a radio show, you know? What could possibly, you know, be useful with that? Let's get into some feedback here. Dear Sean... I was a former corrections officer in juvenile facility in Texas. I mainly worked with gangland youth who had already gone through multiple felony convictions by the time they were incarcerated in the facility I worked. Listening to Newsreel, I thought I would write and share my observations. I'll never forget my first day there. I had an inmate call me to the door of his cell and began showing me a picture of his family. His mother, father, brother, sister, grandparents, etc. They were all incarcerated at that time. Like the entire family... was in jail.
Wow.
It was amazing and very eye-opening to me how most of the prisoners viewed it as a lifestyle that they preferred over what we considered a social normal. Upon reflection, I think this was due to the fact that most grew up in that environment, at the same time viewing it much as a greater immediate monetary rewards in life. What's interesting is the state of Texas went to lengths to provide schooling and college options for kids, but was one of the most neglected parts of the system. Most just did not care. I thought I would share my experiences. So I thought that was kind of interesting, you know. It's funny. Maybe things like Newsreel and whatnot, I would hope would reach out to some people. And, you know, there's probably guys out there who might be listening to the program who are in different stages of their life. It's very interesting. Oh, it's true. You never know who's going to download something because they got to kill time, you know. I mean, I bet you if you could start giving a Newsreel to guys who are locked in the joint, I mean, you know, they got a lot of time they got to kill. Maybe it would help. I don't know.
That's true.
You know,
I don't know if they can get it in there. I'm not sure what their access to the internet is.
Oh, it's probably pretty limited. You know,
yeah.
It's a complicated thing. I mean, everyone's got to. I do think that sometimes, you know, you got to. Sometimes you get handed a raw deal, and it's not necessarily your fault that. You know, maybe
it's tough to get out of hard environments.
Yeah,
like that
it is. It is.
Break, you know, away.
And sure, maybe some bad choices were made, but you know, I just don't. Yeah. Not everybody in jail is evil, right? I mean, there's a lot of good people who just had bad stuff happen to them. So, but anyway, it goes on to say here more feedback. Hello, Sean. Nothing about you, Sim. It says, "Hello, Sean. Just want to say thank you for doing what you're doing. Ever since I was a little girl, I knew shit was bad." And I'm like, you know, you get this image of the little girl with the pixie tails and skipping. She's like, oh no, shit's bad. Then I got a
shit's
computer.
Bad.
Shit is bad, man. And then it became an information junkie. I started listening about 2 years ago and just finished listening to your stopping, so now I'm current. And recently started watching patrolling. Thank you for putting it all out there. I was looking for something to throw my energy instead of art. Well, I've stopped smoking and cut bad habits, and I get up every morning at 6 a.m., and now I just feel fucking fantastic. Thank you for giving me more willpower, and everybody at Rant Radio, the universe claps for you. And this is Loch Ness versus Elizabeth. So, well, that's cool. You know, I noticed that I went into the Rant Media forums, and people started a running club, and they were, like, running and stuff, and, like, actually doing that. And I'm, you know, because I was posting about it on my Twitter, right? And I'm like, oh, I ran.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't run for a week because I've been sick with this, you know, deadly virus that's killing everyone now. But, turn back. Don't go to BC.
But
Still
it's nice
alive.
To be able to inspire.
Yeah.
Still alive.
I'm gonna
all
go,
dead here.
I'm gonna like go paint a giant 3 on the roof of my house right now, so they know, you know, that we're all.
It's all good here. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway,
it's nice to inspire people like that and to get people motivated, right?
Well, it always is. You know, it's nice, and we appreciate it, even though sometimes we're chiding. And we sort of make fun of our fans, which we shouldn't do. But, you know, we got to... I mean, it's got to be entertaining. That's why it's called a show. Hey, Sean, just wanted to clarify that only certain types of furs... Ah, yes, the furry thing. Now, I'm kind of torn with the furry thing. Because, like, it's one of those things that I never thought I would find on the internet. But furries, I've got to say... are too weird for me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't judge them, you know, but, and this is the guy who wrote The Scatterings of Abaddon. I enjoy, you know, my horror and all sorts of
people.
Crazy, twisted stuff, but I just, the furry thing, I can't.
People dress up for Halloween, and these guys just like dressing up anytime they like, rather than just once a year.
Sure.
And, you know, some people are into cars, and some people are into the fursuits. It doesn't mean that people are sexually...
No, and that's what this is about.
Have inclination about cars, yeah.
Well, that's what this is about here. It says, hey, Sean, I just want to clarify. Only certain types of furs actually do the fursuiting sex thing. Furs are a very diverse group of people that that comprises people that are hobbyists, costumers, and even spiritualists. I know this because I am a spiritual furry known as an otherkin. I tell you personally that I regard the furs that engage in the fursuit sex as a bit strange. Favorite letter ever. Ever. When the other kin are calling you a bit strange, I would argue that perhaps... Perhaps. But as you said, consenting adults, not my issue. I just wanted to clarify this, as the furries get a lot of bad press from some of our loudest, embarrassing members, which is always that way. There's always somebody in the campsite who can't mate quietly. Or yiffing, as I believe it's called in the furry culture. So I'm thinking that, you know, I'm not going to get back into the furries thing. Again, that... descends down into the 4chan tunnels.
Read the
of
outro.
Darkness.
Read the outro. It's funny.
Well, peace, love, and carrots. well, that's from the Renegade Rabbit, right? Who sends me amazing stuff, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's like they're totally coming out of the closet on me there. They're just like, oh, you know.
But I mean, I've gone to goth clubs, and there's people have perceptions about goths too. They worship the night, and they're Satanists, and they think that they're Dracula, and they dress up in black. And
well, they do dress up in black, and it's a little bit—it's different from comparing furries to goths, though. I mean, goths just kind of, you know, a Marilyn Manson. You can have arguments about whether or not something's goth. You can't have arguments about whether or not something's a furry because Buddy's dressed like a giant rabbit. Okay, like, you know, I don't know. He's not furry enough. You know, like, is it just the ears? Is it furry if she just has like the little braid thing with the ears, like the anime chicks do? Is that furry, or is that furry enough? You know. I'm more furry than thou, you know, like, really.
Furrier than thou,
you know, I mean, it's just, you know, I don't know, man. I try not to judge. I just, like, the concept, because I used to, you know, run around in mascots and stuff like that when I was a kid as an actual job. I was one of those idiots who at the ball games and stuff. The concept of doing that socially, you know, because I began to regard those suits as, you know, torture instruments, that it was really funny because the dude looks really happy, but actually there's a guy inside, like, the brass bowl from Rome who's, like, screaming, you know, and it sounds like the bowl is mooing, you know, as he burns to death.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty horrible stuff. So, anyway, this is the... this is the world of furries that we are broadcasting from. Now, straight from that into this dramatic plea. Now, this is one of these, like, I've since responded to this person, and I responded right away, and I thought about it later. But anyway, here it is. Dear Sean and Sumerian, I recently discovered that my wife is having an affair with her best friend. I would have taken a bullet for her, and I'm not sure what to do. Any advice is appreciated, and I'm in a pretty fucked up place. Two kids, also 5 years old and a 10-month old. So, nasty.
Yeah.
Nasty. So,
not a good situation there.
I responded like, your marriage is over. Thanks for calling. Get a lawyer. You know, that was pretty much the way I responded to him. I don't know if I actually told him to get a lawyer or not, if he's listening to the program, which chances are, if he's in a really dark spot, he probably is.
Yeah.
I get a lot of people in dark spots listening to the show. I would definitely get a lawyer. And it is also, I'm noticing that it's 10 months old. One of the babies there, one of the larval humans, is 10 months old. So she could have some crazy kind of brain thing going on, postpartum kind of stuff. I don't know. I mean, you would think that, like, well, you know, you sort of bisect yourself into two living beings. That's got to be pretty heavy on the system. I don't know a hell of a lot about childbirth, but I know it sucks pretty hard, and it's got to be pretty tooling on you, you know. So before you go pulling the trigger, apparently I found out later that there's some other details involved with this that make it a little bit more strange. So I hadn't had a chance to think about it. It might be postpartum, but yeah, generally think that if you've gone through the effort of tying the knot and, you know, doing the thing with the dude and the rings and all that stuff, if you want to, that's like a magic spell you cast. And the way you break that magic spell is by having sex with other people. And if you do that, then the marriage thing is broken. It's not my fault. It's not like something that I believe in.
Trust is gone. It'll never be the same ever again.
It's done.
It's
bye-bye.
It's foobart.
Broken, you know, please, you know, it will cost more to repair than it will be to replace it. The warranty is hereby expired, you know,
yes.
Treat it like an old stereo. So, you know, and staying together for the kids, bad idea, you know, just really bad idea. It's better to have people who are just sort of, you know, happy, you know, people who feel good, people who are in love with their life rather than these parents who hate themselves and are trying not to, you know, plot their own death. Now, that's my take, Sim. What do you think?
That's pretty much it. Yep. I mean, even if you get back together and go, oh, it's okay, I'll never do it again, but it won't be ever the same, and the magic is gone. You'll be distrustful of each other for the rest of your married life, and it would suck. So,
yeah.
Nip it in the bud.
Not so good.
It's
not
over.
So good. Yeah, time to move on. Plenty of fish and all that sort of thing. The expression, not the website. Okay, in UK cyberpunk news. Now, the UK is just getting, like, crazier and crazier. It's the Wonderland.
Out of control.
Like, I couldn't make this up. Like, this is so brilliant. I'm in love with this, okay? Now, Sim, you were actually the first one to send me this, but I got another link here.
I was amazed that I was, yeah.
Yeah, I got another link here. In UK cyberpunk news, a new internet game is about to be launched, which allows super snooper players to plug into the nation's closed-circuit TV cameras and report on members of the public committing crimes. What? Internet Eyes, they actually call it Eyes, service involves players scouring thousands of CCTV cameras installed in shops, businesses, town centers across Britain looking for lawbreakers. Players who help catch the most criminals each month will win cash prizes up to £1,000. Pardon me. The Internet Eyes website will also feature a rogues gallery of the so-called criminals, along with a list of their offenses in which the internet user caught them. But the civil rights campaigners are condoning the game, which launches in the Stratford-upon-Avon, Warwickshire, next month, and branded it a snooper's paradise. They claim nosy neighbors could snoop on homeowners, putting the wrong rubbish bins, and even motorists guilty of the most minor misdemeanors. But businessman Tony Morgan, a former restaurant owner, said it would give local businesses protection against petty criminals and act as a deterrent once Internet Eyes patrol here signs are prominently displayed. He will charge those who use the service, which could eventually include local authorities, even police forces, as well as shop owners. This is all private. $20 a week per camera to have their CCTV launch included on the site, amounting to thousands each year. It's a brilliant idea for a thing. The problem is, that it could turn out to be the best crime prevention weapon there's ever been. I want to combine the serious business of stopping crime with an incentive of winning money. There are over 4 million CCTV cameras in the UK, and only 1 in 1,000 gets watched. Crimes are bound to get missed, but this way, people with cameras will be watched by lots of people 24 hours a day. It gives people something better to do than watching Big Brother when everyone is asleep. We've had lots of interest from local businesses and hope it all rolls out nationwide and worldwide. He said the team had seen a wave of support and denied that liberties were being affected. There were more than 4 million cameras in the UK, so everybody is on camera already. It's just that no one is watching the cameras. Players collect points by watching the cameras, which show CCTV images in real time, and click on a button every time they see something suspicious taking place. You could train monkeys to do that. It'd be like, meh. Meh, you know, a single button and meh, doing something wrong. Meh. An SMS or text message along with the still image of the alleged crime is sent to whoever controls the camera. They can then decide whether or not to take action. The camera controller will then send feedback email to the player indicating whether the crime has taken place. Players are awarded 1 point for spotting a suspected crime, just for reporting it. So you get a point for just for spotting a suspected. That's like, wow, there's your falling down point right there. And 3 points if they see someone committing an actual crime. So if I just sit here and hammer fist that, right, I'm getting a point each time.
No, read the next line. Read
players
the next line.
All lose points if the camera operator rules.
Yeah.
Ah. The game has been condemned by civil rights campaigners. Oh, they ruin all the fun. Who claim that it will encourage people to spy and snitch on each other. Well, yeah, that's kind of like saying, hey, this fire will burn you. Charles Ferrier, director of the No CCTV Pressure Group, says it's an appalling idea for a game and will create a snooper's paradise. If something should be nipped in the bud immediately, it will not only encourage a dangerous spying mentality by turning crime into a game, but it could also lead to dangerous civil rights abuses. What if a group of racists decide to send alerts every time a black person is seen on a screen? Yep. And what's stopping criminals using the cameras to scope out where to commit crimes? James Woodward, head of the technical team of Internet Eyes, which is based in Devon and Stratford-upon-Avon, said safeguards, including blocking players out for sending 3 incorrect alerts, would prevent the game from being abused. Well, they've got that all sewed up then. He said for privacy reasons, users will not know the location of the cameras. They will find it very difficult to work out where the camera is. It is possible that someone who's blocked out could see a crime taking place, but is unable to alert the operator. But it's probably safe to assume that someone else looking at the same camera will raise the alarm. So, very interesting stuff going on in UK. You know, you could sit there and rat out your friends. I mean, I think that's like the most cyberpunk thing I can imagine. Some Brit, you know, punk guy with a mohawk sitting down at a bunch of shitload of monitors. He's all got a jack through this internet connection.
50 so going on at the same
and
time.
And he's just like, click. Or you got all these old women who are like
bingo.
Smoking. Yeah,
bingo!
That's exactly. They're like smoking with the bad lipstick and the fish eyes, and they're like,
oh, God.
That one, yeah. She's that guy's peeing on the monument. That's a crime. I win the
game. Oh, yeah, you could set it up with touch screens and they could touch the cameras where the crimes are happening.
Oh, we got him. We got him. Yeah, that'd be just.
Did you see that one, Mott? Oh, that was great.
Yeah, I got the cough for it. You know, I could just cough.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That. Yeah, so I could, you know, I should mic that. Now, speaking of which, I've got this sound I want to use for something.
Yes.
There's a donkey that is
donkey.
Seriously like like a mile away from my house. Okay, I'm not even making this up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and this donkey, for no reason, just screams
wow.
A screaming donkey, and it will do this like at all hours, right? So, but it'll do it like at like 3 in the morning. It'll be like, it's like really brutal, you know, donkey screaming. Like the first time I heard it, it's really terrifying. It sounds like, you know, if the donkey watched its children being skinned alive, you know, that would be kind of
that's the
sound. Noise that this donkey
would
make.
Oh, put that
making.
In the movie. That sounds good.
Yeah, it was great. So, I'm just, you know, word to the wise.
Oh,
Just letting you know. Yeah. Got some good sound stuff on the go here. And I don't want to maybe think of that.
Wow.
In Decker lockdown news. Now, we got a lockdown theme going on here. We got surveillance. They're building a prison. That's the outro song today. Is going to build a prison. The Decker lockdown news. A jailed hacker shut down a prison's entire computer system after bosses gave him the job of programming it. Like, you know, Douglas Harvard, 27, serving 6 years for stealing up to £6.5 million using forged credit cards over the internet, was approached after governors wanted to create an internal TV station but needed a special computer program written. He was left unguarded and hacked into the system's hard drive at Ranby Prison, sent near Redford, Notts. Then he set up a series of passwords that no one else could get into the system. The blunder emerged a week after the Sunday Mirror revealed how an inmate at the same jail managed to get a key cut that opened every door. Harvard was put in segregation as punishment. It's segregation as punishment. What does that mean? Segregation. Does that mean that you're like isolated?
In a corner over there.
I guess.
Yeah. Not. It didn't say isolated. He's in segregation. So that means he's with some other people that are bad too. Extra bad because you're already in jail.
Well, if he's in segregation, he probably is down in the, you know, with, as they would have said in Shawshank Redemption, with the rest of the sodomites. But anyway, he left the system crippled. A prison source said, "It's unbelievable that a criminal convicted of cybercrime was allowed to uncontrolled access to the hard drive." To the hard drive? I love
the hard drive.
The hard drive. Don't let him touch the hard drive. I think they meant the mainframe, but whatever. He set up an elaborate array of passwords. It took a specialist company to get it working. A special future shop. A prison service spokesman said the breach was being investigated, adding, "Prisoners are not allowed unsupervised access to computers. The prisoner was not able to access records of any of the other prisoners." Well, I don't think he was interested in that. He was interested in just locking everything down.
I know exactly how this went down. "Hey, you're good at computers, right? We need some help over here."
Oh, yeah.
Free help.
That's totally what it was.
Because it happens in any small business, right? The smartest person on the computer gets to be the network admin, right?
Yeah. Stall for me for a sec. Just stall.
Okay. Because that happens every time I even if the person is totally incompetent, it's always the smartest person in the company.
Yay! Sorry about that. Ah, what were you stalling with?
I was just talking about, you know, elaborating on the smartest person in the company becomes the network admin by default, even if they only know how to, like, send an email.
Yeah. God forbid that they know that. Mind you, they won't fire you then. If you're the tech guy,
yeah, it's true.
You know, it's a good way.
Because you've got all the passwords, just like the prisoner.
Well, and speaking of the prisoner, how about the American Police Force update? This has been a story that I've been following this for quite some time.
Oh, those great people! Yeah. That took over the town.
Yeah, well, it gets better. It turns out they're not. I thought that they must have been fairly high speed. It seems like they're a lot less high speed than I thought they were. American Police Force update. A spokeswoman for the California company that had been negotiating takeover management of the Hardin Jail said a two-day job fair planned for next week had been delayed. They were supposed to put on this job fair to hire people in the town, right? Becky Shea says it makes no sense for American Police Force to hold the event with the jail takeover in limbo. So suddenly now the whole thing's in limbo. The 464-bed jail, which is interesting that they do it by beds, was built as an economic development project. Hey, we need to make some money. Let's build a jail. But it has not been used since its 2007 completion. At Two Rivers Authority, the economic development agency that built the jail, initially embraced American Police Force as a savior for the project. However, the jail takeover was put on hold by Hardin officials this week following revelations that the lead figure of American Police Force, one Michael Hilton, has an extensive history of fraud in Southern California.
Oops.
His convictions include two grand theft cases and has a civil judgment totaling more than $1.1 million. So, not a very pleasant fellow, I suppose, running there. So, maybe it'll.
Yeah, and I read they were just going to use like the police, American police force was just a training. They were going to set it up as a training facility or something, and they weren't completely qualified as a police force, and they've only been around for a couple months or something.
It was
super shady. The stuff I've been reading about them.
Yeah, they're basically thugs. They're guys with guns. realistically, yep. it's. You know, well, our company has very high standards. Well, we don't care about your standards. You're not a cop. You're a guy with a gun. Sometimes I think a guy with a gun is the answer, by the way. But, This isn't really one of them. Now, there's some exciting shit going on that I just found out about today, which I kind of feel like I'm totally out of loop. I've been sick. I've been down. But there is some exciting space news. Incredible space news.
Oh, I love space news.
Yes. It may be happening in space. I chose this article to link to. in space news, we're talking about the moon hammer that they got on the go here. Woo! It may be happening in space, but people are still screaming. NASA's mission to fire a high-velocity impactor rocket into the moon to research for water is being widely criticized in the blogosphere. Which I was like, whoa, because I was like, yeah, they're going to go look for water. But it wasn't until these guys started to complain because they're firing a high-velocity impactor rocket into the moon. I was like, whoa, what? They're blowing shit up? That's...
on the moon!
Awesome! If NASA's plans to go ahead, as forecast for October 9th launch, to have just two more opportunities to watch a full moon before the planet is subject to what many consider to be mighty unneighborly conduct. The plan on the Lunar Crater Observations and Sensing Satellite LaCrosse mission is to fire a Centaur rocket into the crater at the south pole of the moon, which will act as a heavy impactor, sending debris, like the explosion on impact kind of thing, 30 miles into the air, nearly 50 kilometers up. So it's like...
That's big.
Yeah, it's huge, man. How cool is that? That's like the ultimate artillery there. That's like, you know, we're going to fly it out there.
Fire.
And they're like, whoa. And they're like, oh, the humans have sent the little wham! And we dropped a hammer on those motherfuckers. That'll be awesome. Are you kidding me?
It's really a warning.
Oh, it's not a warning. Now we've got interest to be like, you go ahead and have Mars because we're going to be sending in the second division shot. Rocket balls! It'll be just like raining fire from him with 50-foot plumes, man. This is awesome. This is orbital bombardment technology. This is the most exciting thing that, like, NASA's done in years, man. We're firing a huge cannon at other planets from space? Hell yeah! How do I sign up to do that job? What do you do? I'm the motherfucker who pulls the trigger on a planet. Yeah.
Fire when ready.
You can now witness the power of my fully functional NASA impact rocket. Like, oh my God. It'd be awesome. A second sensor satellite will then drop down into this plume, analyzing its contents in the hopes of finding water. And then the interrogators show up. No, but I mean, boom! And then they drop in their recon troops. They're like, bam! And they're all like, gathering data. They're all moving in, clear. The success. Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, it's going to be like Rainbow Six. The success, or only probably really slowly, it'll be like, beep, clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. The success or otherwise of this search will ultimately determine how realistic a full-time base on the moon can be. So we're like shelling another planet to build a base. That is all that is manned. The upper stage of the launch vehicle, about the weight of a large SUV, will hit the moon at over 5,600 miles per hour, or 9,000 kilometers per hour, which that's like Mach 7, which is roughly twice the speed of a bullet, which is a weird way to compare it because there's a lot of different speeds for bullets. And the impact will excavate a crater about one-third of a football field wide and about the depth of the deep end of a swimming pool. So it's actually not really that big. Yeah, it's really not that big of a blast.
So, but they'll finally discover that it's a perfectly spherical metal ball that's been going around the Earth this whole time.
Right.
They'll uncover this metal ball.
Right. Well,
and
here's hoping.
All will be revealed.
Well, here's hoping, right? They're saying that you'll be able to see this from Earth. Like, with a good amateur telescope. Yeah, like the impact is going to be like wham! Yeah, so you can like see this. The perception of the experiment is overtly aggressive and destruction has rankled many. Like, I'm in my basement and I don't think you should shoot the moon. The far majority of these follow-up comments to reports of lacrosse mission is Scientific American and Silicon India, just to name a few, are highly critical of the mission and its aims. One dude named Ragnar Oxazox, whatever, he's a bunch of G's and R's, he says, "This is the stupidest idea I have ever heard of." Well, you need to get out more because I know dumber ideas. These are the great minds of our generation. Yeah, right. Well, listen up, asshammer. Why don't we see if you can, build yourself a flying space gun that can fire bullets into other planets yourself with your little Legos there, if you ever get outside of, the basement. And as I say, because I'm in a shop, and it's way better if you're in a shop than in a basement, because you're at least in your own structure. and another guy said, keeping in mind, now this is an interesting point, keeping in mind that the tidal influence of the moon and the Earth, remember that our bodies are also composed of the same percentage of water. What if this sudden disturbance sends everyone and everything living on the Earth crazy? I'm like, that's a really great, science fiction lead-in.
Did he notice how small of an impact this is going to make? It's not going to even budge the moon.
Well, what if it... here's what I'm hoping is that they're going to fire it in. And it's going to be like, bam! And there's going to be like a hole. Right? There won't be this huge balloon. It'll be like, they'll look down
just
and there's
a hole.
Like, they blew a hole in the moon, and that means there's now something in the moon. Like, the moon is hollow. You know what I mean? And maybe like a giant space wasp made of metal will come out and attack the craft. You know, that'd be rad. We can get video
you
of
have
that.
Awoken it!
Yeah, and now it is...
We're all dead!
That's right. Or we discover, the alien ship. Or maybe this whole thing is, they're actually going to shell one of the cities. Maybe some of the aliens are talking smack, and we need to put a show of force out, so they're going to, drop...
The Nazi city on the moon. That's right.
Yeah, that Nazi base. The secret Nazi base on the side of the moon, Getting back to the Pink Floyd reference. Could be there, but if there was a Nazi base on the dark side of the moon, dude, we have got the impact weapons to deal with that stuff. I think this is really cool. I think firing rockets into the moon is an awesome idea.
For science!
It's for orbital weapons, and it's hot, so I don't really care. Now, also, this is in Cyberpunk Kit. I couldn't really figure out whether I wanted to put this in Cyberpunk Kit or if I wanted to put this where I wanted to put this. But it's the new plasma drive, which has just been developed using traditional chemical rockets. Trips to Mars, at its quickest, will last 6 months. But a new rocket tested successfully last week, not vaporware now, it's been successfully tested, could potentially cut down travel time to the red planet to just 39 days.
Damn, give me a ticket.
Yeah, I'm like, whoa, what? The Ad Astra Rocket Company tested a plasma rocket called the Vasmir VX-200 engine, which ran at 201 kilowatts in a vacuum chamber, passing the 200 kilowatt mark for the first time. It's the most powerful plasma rocket in the world right now, said Franklin Chang Diaz, former NASA astronaut and CEO of Ad Astra. Like, this guy's got a boner for space. the company has also signed an agreement with NASA to test a 200 kilowatt Vasmir engine out on the Internet Space Station in 2013. Now, this is exciting shit. The tests on the International Space Station would provide periodic boosts to the space station, which gradually drops in altitude into atmospheric drag. The ISS boosts are currently provided by spacecraft with conventional thrusters, which consume about 7.5 tons of propellant per year. By cutting this amount down to 0.3 tons, Chang Diaz estimates the Vasmir could save NASA millions of dollars per year. The test last week was the first time a small-scale prototype of the company's Vasmir Variable Specific Impulse Magnetoplasma Rocket engines have been demonstrated at full power. Give me full power now! Plasma or ion engines use radio waves to heat gases such as hydrogen, argon, and neon, creating hot plasma. Magnetic fields charge the plasma out the back of the engine, producing thrust in the opposite direction. The it's also noted that they found that Rant Media is the best kind of radio waves to supercharge the the chemicals in order to provide the most thrust. So when they're flying to Mars in 39 days, it'll be fueled by our hot air. They provide much less thrust than given movement than do chemical rockets. They provide much less thrust at a given moment than do chemical rockets, which means they can't break free of the Earth's gravity on their own. Plus, ion engines only work in a vacuum. But once in space, they can give a continual push for years. So
nice.
this is a pretty sweet gift. So you've got like, it's like having a 4x4. So now you've got like atmospheric, and you've got your space engines. You know what I mean? Like that's pretty Robotech. You know, really.
Oh, yeah.
I
love the name Magnetoplasma Rocket.
That's pretty hot. I mean, we've got Magnetoplasma Rockets, and we're shelling other planets. Look out, dude. The humans are coming.
We are in the future.
The humans are coming. Oh, yeah. You know it. Because, you know, realistically, just like Carl says, you know, if we don't destroy ourselves, we will one day take to the stars. And we will not stop. We will not be held back by these, you know, cattle mutilating little dudes who think it's all fine to chop up our cows and put stuff inside of us. They better keep us on the planet, man, because if you let the monkeys off the dirt ball, baby, we are going to bring an ass whooping with us. We're going to import that to the universe from Earth. It'll be awesome. and of course, to go with this, in the Cyberpunk kit section, pardon me. Man, it's brutal.
Oh, he's dying.
I am dying, man.
Dying.
Well, I lost hearing in one ear, right? So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because it's all connected, right? Your nose, your mouth, your ears.
The whole thing.
So you get stuffed up and one of your ears goes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, it does suck. But luckily, it's not the ear that my headphone thing is on. So, you know, provided the house is not on fire, I should be fine. And this is something that I'm like, you know, I remember reading about this because I was always into smart drugs and smart nutrients.
Yeah.
So I've been kind of finding out about this stuff on and on and on. But this brand new news story came out. This is a prime example of drug companies playing to they're basically pushers is what they are. They're trying to get kids high.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
Listen to this one here.
Start them young.
Yeah, good news. Now, this opening line. Okay, opening line. Good news for procrastinating students. What? It's good news. No, but like it's implied. Is it humor? It's good news for procrastinating students, i.e. if you're a procrastinating student, this is exactly who's going to use this, okay? A nasal spray developed by a team of German scientists promised to give late-night cram sessions a major boost if a good night's sleep follows. In research report featured by a cover story of October 29 print issue, the FASAB Journal, these scientists show that a molecule from the body's immune system, the interleukin-6, which is administered through the nose to help the brain retain emotional and procedural memories during REM sleep. Sleep to remember a dream or reality. Sleep to remember a dream or reality, said Lisa Marshall, co-author of the study from the National Department of Neuroendocrinology at the University of Lübeck in Germany. Here we provide the first evidence that immunoregulatory signal interleukin-6 plays a beneficial role in the sleep-dependent formation in the long-term memory of humans, and is not just a 2,000-point Scrabble word. To make this discovery, Marshall and colleagues had 17 healthy young men spend two nights in the laboratory. On each night, after reading either an emotional or neutral short story, they sprayed a fluid into their nostrils, which contained either interleukin-6 or a placebo fluid. The subsequent sleep and brain electricity activity was monitored throughout the night. Next morning, subjects wrote down as many words as they could remember from each of the two stories. Those who received the dose of the IL-6 could remember more words. If a nasal spray can improve memory, perhaps we're on our way to giving some folks a whiff of common sense, such as accepting the realities of evolution, said General Weissman, MD, editor-in-chief of the FASAB Journal. Well, okay, that's kind of a weird off-topic stab to take
That's quite, no kidding.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, and if they believe
get
this, they
can
burn the Bibles!
Yeah,
okay, whatever. this exciting piece of interdisciplinary science, since IL-6 has previously been considered a byproduct of inflammation, not an agent that affects cognition. Now, the other side of this, too, is that there's a substance called vasopressin, which is used for treating epilepsy, which people have been doing this with for years. It's a nasal spray. You shoot up with vasopressin, read a bunch of crap, and then before the exam, you hit yourself with the vasopressin again, and then you go. This is nothing. This is nothing new. I mean, there's lots of brain doping techniques that people use to get through, you know, exams and stuff like that.
I guess this is a more refined one, and they're trying to market this
one.
Well,
it's new, isn't
it? To the stores.
Well, they're going to stack it, is what they're going to do. They're going to hit themselves with vasopressin and this junk. Right, and then this is how you're going to have kids doing like short-term game with long-term damage to their brains. I don't like drugs. I really don't. I don't care for any of these neural drugs. Not because they're drugs. Not because I'm against any sort of a concept of using medicine or anything like that. That's not the problem. We just don't have enough data on it. You know, that's why I'm a big fan of like grass, because we have data on that. No one ever dies from it. You know what I mean? Like, we have a data sample that lasts 1,000 years on that stuff.
Millennia.
Yeah, so,
study on that.
You know, we don't know what the long-term effects of these drugs are, and there's a lot of people getting rich from this stuff, so it's a little bit scary, you know, to be dealing with that. Now, I got a daily hack here, which is probably one of the sexiest daily hacks we've had on the show in a while. The Bedazzler was sent in by Paladin. Of course, the whole internet's sending me this. Our first open-source Homeland Security non-lethal weapon project, the Bedazzler, is a do-it-yourself handheld LED incapacitator. After attending a conference where the $1 million CSIG flashlight named the Dazzler was demonstrated to the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, we decided to create our own version. For under $250, you can build your own Dazzler and re-release the source code and schematic and a PCB file to make it easy. A great Arduo project for people who really like blinking LEDs. We also added a mod section so you can put in some pretty cool color swirl modes, great for raves and parties. Yes, the project does indeed create nausea, dizziness, headaches, flash blindness, eye pain, and occasional vomiting. So don't use it on your friends or pets. Now, I'm all about like making these up, okay? And it's like floodlight for my house much. Like motion sensor floodlights much. Like
that'll be effective.
Oh yeah, bam! You know, it's like you just do all your lighting inside your house, man. So like, if somebody breaks into your home, well, they're gonna have to like see.
Get out!
They're not gonna be able to do that. You cross
they're
that
like
with a little bit of
feeling their way out of your house, right?
Yeah, and that's if you know the dog doesn't get them, right? That's when you get the dog, the dog with the mirror shades and the doggy armor on. Yeah, baby.
Nice.
You have broken into the wrong apartment. You have chosen poorly. Or if you had a party and you're going to, like, have the house party for, you know, the friends, and you set up the lighting system for it, you have it all over, so it's like, until somebody, you know, starts getting violent, and then, bang, all the lights suddenly turn into these, like, ground pinning. They're like, and everybody's like, down, and comply, and you can, like, eject the one person, and then it goes right back.
Party's over.
Well, that'd be it. It'd just be, like, terror drone for, like, 12 seconds, and then back out again. It'd be pretty cool. So it's a neat idea. It's a neat idea. Some Recomedia this week. We have some pirate news. Other than the other, yar, space pirates. And other pirates. Space pirates. Where am I thinking of space pirates?
I don't know.
I have no space pirates.
Well, we could shoot things into space now. We're shooting destructive things into space.
We're mass-driving planets, man. It's called an impactor rocket. How awesome is that? How totally phallic is that? We're going to fire.
Yeah.
Thrusting our rocket, pounding down into the impacting of this. I mean, it's pretty. A lot of
if any Martians piss us off, we can make it there in 39 days to kick your ass.
That's right, man. It's we're on our way, and we're bringing our impactor rockets with us. Now, in pirate news, this is pretty neat because we were talking about this on before. But last week, Torrent Freak reported that the Canadian Pirate Party had established its own BitTorrent tracker, which is true. And the pirates hoped to show that BitTorrent was not a threat, but a great tool for artists to promote their work. Record labels Thorny Bleeder agrees is now offering free music via the tracker, which is kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a pretty cool thing. And they've got now there's going to be – this is a really good way for independent artists to get their stuff out. I mean, like everybody's here, right? Everybody knows about us. And they know about us why, you know, because people talked.
Because we offer our stuff on, you know, torrents and YouTube, and we give away our stuff for free, and then people come, and it's a great promotion tool. And this record label is realizing this and going on the torrent sites.
Which is, you know, and that's, it'll be interesting. You should see if you can get a hold of these guys and maybe get some feedback from them. Get them on the show and find out, hey,
exactly,
how's your sales been? How's that actually affected you? Found it's gone down, gone up. Talk to the band, see what their feedback is. And I bet, you know, across the entire spectrum, you're going to find more and more people are going to be exposed to more and more different kinds of music by using this thing. And now this reminds me, Sim, because we were talking about doing these freebooter nights with DJ Vortex. And, you know, with the Pirate Party Radio, we got a lot of music here. And I'm sort of thinking about, you know, the format for that. And what I wanted to talk to, you know, Vortex about is I'm thinking, what if we just had, like, cool music there? What if you didn't do it like it was going to be a goth night or an industrial night? What if you just chose really awesome music from, like, all over the internet, and, like, that no one had ever heard before? Like, the likelihood of someone hearing this music before is almost non-existent. So that anyone who were to go to the club would hear, like, new music that you've never heard before that's awesome. Like, wouldn't that be a draw, you think? I mean, I think it's a good idea.
That would certainly be very interesting.
Yeah, you know,
I always like listening to new music rather than the same music. I don't know if the general population feels that way. People tend to like music that's repetitive in their ears, and they get used to it because they've heard it on commercials and movies and television shows. That's how we're taught to like things, unfortunately.
I bet you, but if we were to do that, though, I bet you we'd get it. I bet you that people would be like, yeah, man, did you go down there? There's a lot of crazy music. I got exposed to a bunch of stuff. It was really fun. Everybody dressed kind of crazy. Everyone could, you know, go as funky as they want. It'd be a good time. You know, furries welcome. You know, absolutely. It's supposed to be like, you know, where the party palace of and I'm thinking about what I'd like to do is I'd like to – remember that thing we were talking about with the broadcasting Second Life? Where you had like a portal into the
virtual portal.
Yeah. We were talking about that, and it wouldn't have worked for the 10th anniversary, but that would totally have worked for one of these freebooter nights. You know, where it's kind of the bridge between worlds, and that you could even set up like a little Stargate looking ring as your broadcast screen and everything. You could really set that up so you've got like different people and like really take this thing to the next level. I think it's a neat idea. If you've got ideas about this sort of a thing and think that it's, even if it's just like an installation that could be temporarily set up and torn down, get a hold of me, newsreel@rantradio.com. We're going to be putting some heavy shit on here in Vancouver. It's going to be a good time. So anybody who's on the West Coast who wants to check that out, it's going to be like a regular thing that's going to be happening. Stay tuned. So and of course, you know, you'll be
very cool,
heavily involved with that because we're going to be bringing on the pirates and everybody's going to all get involved. We will take over the world. Now, as well, we have some other Recomedia here, which is the Index file. Now, this is an interesting thing. The file marked confidential, this is from WikiLeaks, described, now I talked about this last week, the file marked confidential describes the development of the EU-funded intelligence gathering system, Index. This is that Skynet system we were talking about.
Oh,
I called it Index.
Yeah.
Well, of course, you know, the WOGs can't get nothing by them, so I talk about this. They find it on WikiLeaks when, bang, it hits the page. He's like, yeah, Sean wanted to follow this. Boom, gets to me, and now it's all
nice.
Of you. It's this semi-sentient, you know, teamwork. You see, that's why we say help each other. You don't have to love each other. You don't have to all high-five each other and be all cool with that shit. But, like, you know, if you meet a guy here in Second Life and you don't get along with him and he's a WOG, that's fine. But you don't let him, you know, be eaten by the wolves, so to speak. We got to kind of stand up for each other, even if you don't. You know, it's got to start somewhere, you know, really.
Yeah.
So anyway, this news report is what they're talking about. Is this Index Work Package 4 is designed to comb weblogs, chat sites, news reports, and social networking sites in order to build up an automatic dossiers on individuals, organizations, and their relationships. This is the white paper. The aim of Work Package 4, WP4, is development of key technologies that facilitate the build-up of an intelligence gathering system by combining the extending current state-of-the-art methods in natural language processing. One of the goals of WP4 is to propose NLP and machine learning methods that learn relationships between people and organizations through the websites and social networks. Key requirements for the developments of such methods are, 1, the identification of entities, their relationship and events in which they participate, 2, the labeling of entities, relationships, and events that and in a corpus that will be used as a means for both developing and methods. Now, Legion Rosenman, who sent me this story, thank you very much, Legion, for he is many. Legion Rosenman read the whole document, and he reported back to me saying, I read the whole document. A very interesting read. And it gives great detail on how they want to teach the database system how to understand, not just extract, written sentences from news stories, weblogs, and chats in order to connect individuals with organizations and events. That's not just a spy system, that's an AI. The current effort is directed towards collecting data on football hooliganism and the sale of human organs. Which, holy cyberpunk, stealing
football
organs.
Football hooliganism.
Yeah, and stealing organs. I mean,
that's... Yeah. I can see the second one, but the first one, an online data scraper on football hooliganism? Happen in cyberspace?
I don't know. I guess it's a big deal. I guess people brag about being hooligans. I guess.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I beat this guy up the other day.
Maybe they
post about it?
Maybe. I don't think those guys know how to use computers. But the one thing I do look at this here is that I think that this is why the stories like this, I think that the surveillance state is inevitable. Okay, we're not going to stop it. Okay, it's already happening. Yeah. We can argue about whether or not they're going to deploy, but realistically, it's going to get in. Okay, the water's going. You can keep bailing out the boat, but the water's still coming in. All right, it's going
to
happen.
It is in. In the UK, they're paying people to watch other people.
Well, hell,
they're
having
prizes away to turn people in.
It's
here.
It's insanity. So what I'm looking at is how we should look at ways of using that on the enemy, and so that we basically use greater force against itself. The internet and the young people are always faster to adopt technology, way faster than the so-called early adopters. So if we can take their weapons that they throw at us, manipulate them and use them so that we can use them in a better way, that's a big part of what the whole Pirate Party thing is about, because open source knowledge, I'm all for. I think a surveillance society is a good idea if everyone can see the cameras. If everyone can see the cameras, it's okay. But the problem is when you get people hiding secret information, like all the video cameras watching the Pentagon that, when the plane hit and stuff like that, or from the first bombings. There's a lot of security camera footage that just isn't available, which I think is like, what the hell?
Because
why is it there?
If we truly are the government and we pay for the government, why shouldn't we have access to the government?
Don't get me wrong. I think democracy is kind of broken. I mean, I don't really have a better system, but I just want to be honesty about, the democracy being kind of broken. Maybe Ron Paul's right. I don't know. But I don't like the dishonesty. That's what's really getting me, where they're sitting there and they're totally pissing on your back and telling you it's raining. It makes me insane. I can't take it, and I'm not going to pass that on to the wogs, because that just, makes me nuts. And, God, that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. If you cannot donate to the show, please distribute the show. But if you can't donate, please do so by going to the Donate tab on the Rant Media website. Or you can send an envelope to Rant Media Studios, Box 95089, 370 East Broadway, Vancouver, BC, Canada, V5T1W0. No digital
baptisms.
Sorry. I want to thank the Army of their Flying Monkeys for their assistance gathering data. If you have information that you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel@rantradio.com. And be sure to sign up for the Rant Media newsletter and being able to stay current on all the new electronic trends and things that are happening. Because, Sim, putting together this pirate radio thing, that's going to be pretty cool, man. I've got to say, good for you. Good for you.
It'll be fun.
For setting that up. Yeah, that's the way to go, man. Awesome. And you can get the newsletter by sending an email to info@rantradio.com, and he will put you on the news list. Because if you don't do that, then he will put it on there because, Sim hates spam. And Cobra, yes. Our little UAV building guy, sent me a fantastic song by System of the Down called Prison Song, which is totally fitting for the news stories today. I had to put it on there. Thank you very much. Cobra, and one of the lyrics of the song after I listened to it is, you know that the U.S. prison population since 1985 has doubled? Like, holy shit.
Wow.
There's a lot of people
going
to jail.
That's way too many people.
Yeah, so it's...
I mean, they're even recruiting people from up here.
Yeah.
You know, Mark Emery, take him down to the States. Don't sell pot.
Oh,
we need more people in our jails.
Yeah, I guess he's,
He's on his way. He's still here. He's in jail in Canada, but, you know, you got to get those people to fill the jails.
Well,
they've got empty jails.
And plus, you got the Olympics coming, right? We don't want to have, you know, these smelly little dope peddlers, you know, in their neighborhoods.
That's right.
God knows.
Get those people with dreadlocks out of here.
Yeah, they're dirty. They're dirty. And that's why it's important that, you know, no matter what tribe you're part of, or what tribe that, you know, people who you've kind of got sketchy relationships with, where it's just like, on again, off again, friends, not friends. People need to stop hanging on to these petty differences, and we need to start getting allied under one banner, something at least we can agree upon and everybody can agree upon, you know, free information. Okay, we have to be able to communicate. Even if we don't agree with each other's viewpoints, we have to agree with the ability of, each of us to share these ideas. We either believe in it for everyone or we don't believe in it for anyone. And it sucks. It sucks sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, personally, I've had to come to the conclusion that, you know what? Unless, like, for example, everyone knows I'm against pedophiles. But I had to think about these cases where these guys are getting nailed on pedophile stories or pedophile comics or drawings and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where there's no
–
it's pure thought crime. There's no child involved. Even if it's an art thing that looks like a child, 3D rendering that looks like a child, is it illegal? Is it a crime? It's sick and perverted. But I've got to say no, because there's no actual person involved, and it still is a thought crime. And it makes me nuts.
Exactly.
It makes me nuts. It makes me nuts when I see the pro-lifers. I hate those fucking people. They piss me off.
People might not like what we do, but at least we can do it.
That's right.
And
you know, and maybe we should do it on the sides of the highways, waving signs around. Wouldn't that be great? You know, don't kill your baby and shit, you fucking poet.
Yeah.
You know, but whatever. I guess, you know, it must not steer onto
the
sidewalk.
To each their own, just don't hurt each other.
Yeah, you know, whatever. So we've got to do what we got to do. So, you know, remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we are at each other's throats. So until next time, Sim, have you got anything else, buddy?
Nope.
Excellent. And that's what Server said. End of line.
You're trying to build a prison.
Clamped on with your iron fist, drugs became conveniently available for all the kids. Following the rights movement, you clamped on with your iron fist, drugs became conveniently available for all the kids.
Mother, my crack, my smack, my bitch, right here in Hollywood.
Nearly 2 million Americans are incarcerated in the prison system of the U.S.
They're trying to build a prison.
Sell your prisons, you don't even flinch. All our taxes paying for your wars against the mean unrich. Minor drug offenders, sell your prisons, you don't even flinch. All our taxes paying for your wars against the mean unrich.
Mother, my crack, my smack, my bitch, right here in Hollywood.
The percentage of Americans in the prison system has doubled since 1985.
They're trying to build a prison.
They're trying to build a prison. They're trying to build a prison. They're trying to build a prison.
For you and me to live in.
Another prison system. Another prison system. Another prison system.
Drugs to pay for secret wars around the world. Drugs are now your global policy. Now you police the globe.
Mother, my crack, my smack, my bitch, right here in Hollywood.
Drug money's used to regulate.
elections and train brutal corporate-sponsored dictators around the world.
They're trying to build a prison.
They're trying to build a prison. They're trying to build a prison. They're trying to build a prison.
For you and me to live in.
Another prison system. Another prison system. Another prison system.
For you and me to live in.
They're trying to build a prison. They're trying to build a prison. They're trying to build a prison for you and me.
Okay.